Amen. There's a church member that is not here this morning. Her name is Celia Marquez. Anybody know Celia? Does anybody know where she is? She's in Mexico today. She's been praying for her husband to become a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church for 15 years. And today, he is going to be baptized. Amen? He's going to be baptized. Talk about healing. Powerful healing. As a church, we have a message of hope. A message that looks into the future and says, God is in control. God has a purpose, a mission. God knows what will happen, and he will take care of his children. Amen? When we share this message of hope, of the second coming, we use the books of Daniel, we use the books of Revelation, and we share that beautiful message that is found in those books. But there are other books that also speak of this hope. And one of those books is a small book in the Old Testament by the name of Zephaniah. How many of you can find Zephaniah? It's hard to find Zephaniah. It's only 3 chapters long. And all the other books around it are also about 2-3 chapters long. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to this book, the book of Zephaniah, because it tells us of a message that is known to us Adventists. But he uses other words. Zephaniah's name means the treasure of God. What do you think is God's biggest treasure? What do you think? Is it all the gold in the world? All the diamonds in the world? All the big buildings in the world? What do you think it's God's treasure? People. Amen. Us. We are his greatest treasure. And Zephaniah means God's treasure. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1 tells us the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. He tells us a little bit about himself. Some people think that the son of Hizkiah is actually the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And he was a royal descendant of this king. It tells us also that he was preaching in the time of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Now, if you remember well, King Josiah was a small, young lad when he began reigning in Judah. He was only 8 years old. And his father and grandfather were not very good kings. In fact, they had taken the whole people of Judah into idolatry. And they were worshiping Baal and worshiping the stars. And they'd just gone far away from God. But in his time, they discovered the books of the law. We don't know if it was the 5 books or just 1 book. But they started to read and they started to understand what was God's will. A reformation began in his time. And among the people who were there in that period was Zephaniah and also the prophet Jeremiah. Both of them were there speaking on behalf of God to his people. But the message that Zephaniah was bringing was not a good news at first type of message. If you go with me to verse 2, it says, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Zephaniah begins with this message of warning, a message of judgment. A serious message to be listened to. continues saying, I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Chemarims with the priest, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcham, which also means their king, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Wasn't this a time of reformation? Wasn't this a time of revival? Wasn't this a time when the people of God had rediscovered the law of God and were trying to follow what God had said in his word? But it seems like not everybody was following God's word. And this is why in verse 7 he says, hold thy peace. Hush, be silent. Listen at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guest. Zephaniah is known for using this term, the day of the Lord. Have you heard that term before? In other books? Have you heard it in the New Testament as well? It appears several times. And here in the book of Zephaniah, it also appears. The day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guest. And verse 8 tells us, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. A message for who? For the king's children. Have you noticed that it is not easy to pass one's faith to somebody else? One's convictions, one's beliefs? It wasn't easy for King Josiah. In fact, his children were part of that worship toward Baal, worship toward the stars. They were enticing the priests and the prophets of their time to follow after strange gods. And in verse 9 it says, in the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant peoples are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Have you heard that expression before? Some call themselves agnostics. Good, evil? No, doesn't exist. And if it does exist, I don't care. I'm too comfortable. Things are looking good for me. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Look at me. I'm successful. I've achieved. I've done. Not knowing that that too will end. When? At that time. Have you heard that phrase as well? At that time, Michael will stand up. Daniel 12:1. At that time. Zephaniah, as well as the minor prophets, used this message not only to speak about what was going to happen in their days, in the near future, but God used this situation for us who live in the time of the end to show us what would happen. In fact, Jesus did the same thing with his message of Matthew 24. He used Jerusalem saying it will be destroyed in the near future, but he used it also as an illustration of the time of the end of the world. And Zephaniah continues telling us the following. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. It sounds apocalyptic. It sounds like end time scenario. And you might think, no, Pastor Sam, it sounds like what's happening to me today. I'm in that situation. It seems like everything I've been trying to do fails. My health is failing. My finances is failing. My family is failing. What do we do? If you've been following the news, there are 33 miners who I think can relate to this. Half a mile under the ground. When the mine collapsed, it was August 5. So tomorrow it's going to be a month since they've been down there. They had food for 2 days, water for 2 days. And they were found 17 days later. They drilled a little conduit down to them, I think three of them, where they can now send water, they can send food, they can communicate, and give them hope that they can come out of there. The people who are working on this project say it might take them 4 months before they can come out. Doctors from NASA are there helping them cope with this situation of utter darkness, and they don't know when it's day, when it's night. Our church sent down 33 miniature Bibles. Yes, with their name on it and a little magnifying glass. And one of the miners said, this has brought so much hope to us. We believe we will come out. We believe. It's given us hope. And that is the message that Zephaniah has for us today. A message that even though this will happen, if you trust in the Lord, everything will be okay. Amen? Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. I was looking up the term gather, and the only thing I found that the Hebrews were gathering were sticks to cook. And they would gather the sticks. And I thought, well, what does that mean for us today? Gather together. When we come together, it's to get good ideas, right? We brainstorm when we come together. And we find solutions to some of our problems when we come together. But God's people also comes together to worship him. Amen? We come together because we find strength in worshiping the only true God. And the message is the same. Gather together. In these difficult times, gather together. Before the decree bring forth before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Amen? Seek God. Seek what is right. Seek meekness. Zephaniah continues sharing this message of judgment, not only with Judah, but he continues also with the nations that were surrounding it. Verse 4 says, "For Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon a desolation." And it continues naming the cities of the Philistines. In verse 8, it continues, "And I have heard the reproach of Moab and the reviling of the children of Ammon. They also would suffer destruction." In fact, just 2 days ago, an ancient Moabite temple was found, 3,000 years old, dating to the Iron Age. And it was discovered underground, destroyed. Continues in verse 12 by saying, "Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work." This is Nineveh, the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, "I am, and there is none beside me." How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand. This destruction would affect all these nations, including Judah. And in chapter 3, verse 1, again, God in his great mercy tries to appeal to his people, tries to let them know what is coming. "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." I took some time to look up that word, batach, which means to trust. It's related to worship. It's related to doing what is right. God's people, for some reason, were worshiping other things, other gods. And they had left God and trusted in their walls, trusted in their king, trusted in their army, trusted in their wealth. And God was saying, "Why? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you not received correction? Why have you not obeyed my voice? Why have you drawn far from me?" In fact, the message goes even points more clearly to a group of people. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. These were the leaders. These were the ones who were supposed to say, "Yes, let's look for God in this time." But they were all going away in their own way. But a message of hope comes. A message that I want you to listen to very carefully. A message that no matter what you're going through, it's important that you know this. And it's found in verse 5. "The just Lord is in the midst thereof." The just Lord in the middle of that people? who've forsaken him, who've gone astray, who've gone after other gods. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. Amen? Every morning he brings his decisions to light. Every morning he faileth not. God is in your midst. You have nothing to worry about. But the unjust, they know not shame. It continues. God said, I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me now, since you've seen all the destruction happening to Nineveh, to the Moabites, to the Ammonites, to the Philistines. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Verse 8, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Once again, the prophet Zephaniah shows us a picture of something that would happen in the time of the end. God says, wait for me. How many of you like to wait? Nobody likes to wait. We don't. We get impatient. We want it now. And God says, wait for me. Be patient. At that time, at the perfect time, at the right time, I will bring deliverance to my people. Amen? How many here are waiting for that deliverance? I think we're all waiting for it, and we think, God, when? Why are you taking so long? He says here that he will gather the nations. Are you seeing the nations gathered today? Yes, they're coming together. They want to make contracts. They want to make covenants. They want this one world. It says in Zephaniah that would happen. But to what purpose? In order that they will be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then also, at that time, will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. God's people, in the time of the end, are going to put their trust in the Lord. They will also gather together. They will also speak one language. Even if somebody speaks Spanish, el español, or jemand spricht Deutsch, German, or quelqu'un parle en français, in French, they will speak the same language. The language of God's Holy Spirit, speaking to his people and through his people. Verse 13, the remnant of Israel, they will be called, shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Amen? No fear. No fear for God's people. Why? What's their secret? The Word of God. In fact, it gets closer even to that. And we find it in this last section of Zephaniah. And it's a hymn. It's a song of victory. Despite all the doom and gloom at the beginning, Zephaniah says God's people must be different. Not fearful, but sing. Sing this song of victory. And I want you to see something that shows up two times in this little section. It says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore." Who's in the midst of her? The Lord. "In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over with thee singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her, and was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." Did you catch that, brothers and sisters? I don't know if you got it. God is in your midst. Can you see that? Can you feel that? I know every time I look in the mirror and I see myself and I go even deeper inside, I go, wow, who am I? But I'm so glad that I have an all-powerful, loving God who's on my side and who's on your side as well. And he wants his people today, in these times, to sing. To a different tune. The sound or the music of victory. So much better than the one of defeat, right? And the only way we can do that is if God's Holy Spirit dwells with each one of us. The only way we can sing that. It's the only way we can see beyond the deepest pit and deepest darkness. Because God has promised that he will be in our midst. Amen? Do you want to trust that, God? I do. God bless us all.